Hello and welcome to Friday. It is awesome, and we hope you think the same thing about today's show. I'm Coral Azus. First story today, the U.S. government says it's made progress in an effort to relieve some of the shipping problems that have clogged up the international supply chain. The government does not control that chain. It's largely made up of private port operators, trucking companies, railroads, and warehouses. But the Biden administration is putting its support behind a plan for the Port of Los Angeles to operate 24/7 and for large companies like Walmart, Home Depot, and UPS to ship more goods at night. California's Port of Los Angeles is one of the most congested ports on Earth. 40% of all the containers shipped to America come through here and at the Port of Long Beach. Economic analysts and trade leaders say this is a step in the right direction, but that it won't make a major impact in supply problems. It's estimated that round-the-clock operations will increase container flow at this port by 10%. The supply chain problems are complicated. They've been made worse by a worldwide shortage in trucks, computer chips, chemicals, and other goods, and different COVID-19 restrictions, which keep many transport workers from moving freely. Other efforts are being made to address shipping problems. Ports in the state of Florida say they have not seen the delays that California's have, so officials in the Sunshine State are trying to encourage shipping companies to unload there, even though that might mean sailing from the Pacific through the Panama Canal to get to Florida. So for some ships carrying billions of dollars in cargo, it's a question of what takes longer and costs more, waiting to unload on the West Coast or sailing to Florida on the East Coast. Organizations in Florida are rushing to hire more truck drivers who are needed to pick up the unloaded containers and take them to warehouses. The trucker shortage is said to be the weakest link in the international supply chain, and the evidence of that stretches to Georgia's Port of Savannah, the nation's third largest behind those in California and New York.
What we're seeing here is a major traffic jam of cargo ships, as well as a major backlog of supplies. If you just take a look at the view from our mast cam, you'll see this wall, this mountain of shipping containers stacked as high as you can see. We're talking about 70 to 80,000 of these steel boxes that have been sitting here every day waiting for somebody to pick them up to get to their final destination. And we're told that this is a 50% increase in the number of shipping containers that the Port of Savannah is now dealing with. So why are we seeing this huge backlog? Well, as you know, and as we've been reporting, there's this major shortage of truck drivers around the country, right? And also, that's causing retailers to leave their containers here. And the Georgia Ports Authority has been calling the retailers to remind them, look, your container has been sitting here for 12 days or weeks, actually. We're told hundreds have been sitting here for several weeks. So what we're being told right now, what's happening is that there are seven vessels at the dock in their berths being unloaded. Most of these shipping containers take about 24 hours or so to be unloaded. That's not atypical. What's atypical is the fact that there are 25 cargo ships in the queue right now. Many of them could be waiting up to as long as 5 days.
10-second trivia. What city has the most fountains in the world? St. Petersburg, Russia, Kansas City, Kansas, Rome, Italy, or Florence, Italy? No city on the planet has as many fountains as Rome, where you'll find more than 2,000 of them. Let's all go to Italy to see the bacteria. Maybe not the most effective travel ad, but tiny organisms that eat away at the nation's ancient artifacts are also being used to preserve them. Restoration is an ongoing challenge in this richly historic country. Tens of millions of dollars have been spent to preserve sites like the Colosseum, the Spanish Steps, and the ornate Trevi Fountain. There's a legend that those who toss a coin into this Baroque monument will come back to Rome one day. To ensure architecture like it is still standing when they do, some workers are employing bacteria found deep inside.
A laser burns away the grime of 18 centuries, caked onto the arch of Septimus Severus in the Forum. Rome may be the eternal city. Its ancient artifacts, however, are not, under unrelenting assault by the ravages of time, pollution, acid rain, and the sweat and breath of millions of tourists. Conservator Alessandro Lugari and his colleagues are using the latest technology to try to salvage the city's treasures. See the block, he asks? It's about 4 cubic meters, several tons, and inside there are billions of bacteria. Bacteria that ever so slowly disfigures and erodes the marble. We built a box so it would be dark, Lugari explains. The temperature and humidity should be relatively high to recreate conditions on the outside like those inside. They then covered the outside of the marble with enzymes, drawing the bacteria out to the surface where it calcified, strengthening the stone. Increasingly, restoration work is being done on a molecular level. But of course, for Italy, the challenge is huge because it has archaeological sites on a monumental scale. While some fight bacteria, others are using it to eat away grease and dirt. Microbiologist Chiara Alisi and her team at ENEA, Italy's National Agency for New Technologies, search for potentially useful strains of bacteria in industrial waste sites, abandoned mines, and from the distant past. They've already been selected by nature to develop potential abilities which we can test and study and apply, she says. This strain we collected from an Etruscan tomb. It's a complicated process, isolating individual strains that thrive on the right kind of filth. Sequencing the DNA and then putting them to work. Silvia Borghini shows us the results in the garden of the Museo Nazionale Romano. With a toothbrush, she removes gel suffused with bacteria from a block of marble once part of a 4th century Roman bridge. The cleanest strip was covered for 24 hours with the SH7 strain. It's easy to apply, and afterwards the artifacts stay clean, Silvia says. It doesn't harm the environment, it's not toxic for us or the flora in the garden. It's perfect.
La flora o il giardino che c'è, quindi sarebbe perfetto.
Le gocce lasciate così.
And therein lies the paradox. A single-celled organism could help preserve this city's ancient glory. Ben Wiedemann, CNN, Rome.
Take some serious time, money, and enthusiasm to build a life-sized X-Wing. But for some die-hard Star Wars fans in Russia, it was challenge accepted. The builders say it took several months to construct, and that in terms of the money they spent, it was, quote, a lot. The cost was $5,000, according to the news site Interesting Engineering. The X-Wing replica is made mostly of wood and doesn't actually fly. In fact, the starfighter doesn't actually fight stars, its pilot doesn't actually walk skies, it's nowhere near a galaxy far, far away, and it took more than Obi-Wan builder, though it wasn't exactly a Rebel Alliance. Still, when it comes to the question of do or do not, Jedi gotta say the finished X-Wing makes for one great Mandalorian. Cannon City High School, shout out to you, our viewers in Cannon City, Colorado. We get a lot of requests for that, but the one place we look for the schools we mention is youtube.com/CNN10. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'm Carl Azuz.